Hey guys, before we get into the episode, there's a couple things I wanted to share with you real quick about some upcoming events. One of them being from one of our sponsors, the Nate D Foundation. You might remember Nate's mom, Tiffany, from episode 84, where she shared the memory of Nate and how he was lost to a fentanyl overdose. And you can find more information on them at nate-d.ca. On June 24th and 25th, they are having their annual Nate D Memorial Slow Pitch Tournament in Aldergrove, BC, at the Philip Jackman Park and Homer Dome. Now, the tournament itself is full, but if you happen to be in the area, you can stop by and, you know, buy into one of the raffles, make a donation, check out some food, watch one of the teams that have paid to get in and support this great cause. Remember, what they do is to send individuals who couldn't otherwise afford it abroad for trauma therapy, and even locally for some counseling and therapy for people that, again, couldn't afford it. They do really great work, guys. They support the show. And, you know, if you could support them, that'd be great. If you're not in the area, consider going to the website. That's nate-d.ca and making a donation. Show your support that way. The final mention for upcoming events is you might remember Joseph Fourier from episode 94 and 95 and how he talked about losing his son, Harlan Fourier, to a fentanyl poisoning. With the pain of that loss, he has started the No Thanks, I'm Good campaign, and they are having an awareness walk and rally to bring awareness to the high number of fentanyl poisonings and deaths in our communities. That is in Winnipeg, Manitoba, on June 25th, starting at 12 o'clock at the Odita Center. Now, they don't have a Facebook page or a website yet, but they are getting to that. In the meantime, if you've got any questions, don't hesitate to email me, ashes2awesomepodcast@gmail.com, and I'll put you in touch. Those are a couple great causes to support, and if you can, please do. Thanks for listening, guys. Now on to the show.
Mama, I got bad news, I've been rolling with some bad dudes, I've been trying to get a bag too, I'm just doing what
Hello
I
listeners,
to.
Welcome to the Ashes to Awesome podcast, Rising in Recovery, a podcast providing light, hope, and understanding about addiction and mental health to those living within that life and the people who love them. Hey listeners, welcome back to another episode of Just the Tips Thursday. I'm in studio with Scott from the No New Friends podcast. Welcome back, Scott. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Fantastic, but overwhelmed. You know, there's a lot, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, just a lot going on in life, and work is busy. You know, the podcast, the plus everything, you know?
Yeah, I do know, actually. Yeah, right. I missed a couple episodes last week, as you're well aware. So, and then of course, in the weeks before that as well, I missed an episode each time. So we're back on track now. I had to do for a Monday, but, I'm getting back into my groove here. So we're, you know, we're recording ahead of schedule and the way things are supposed to be. But.
Yeah. A couple of days. Yeah. Last week we were tight last week, weren't we?
Yeah. The night before, right? Yeah.
Down to the wire. Yeah. Wednesday night. So I didn't get my nap. After work, recorded with you, then recorded No New Friend. Yeah, it was, so I'm glad we're doing this, on a Tuesday for us.
Yeah, a little bit ahead of time, right? So, and then, you know, as things move on, I really do need to get to like a week ahead of time on the schedule, period.
Well, I couldn't do it. And also, but in my head, I was like, well, we're a week ahead. We're fine. What we just have, we have to take advantage of the time that we have to get ahead, because it just, you know, then we're not rushing in the last minute and, you know, but listen, everything works the way it's supposed to work. You know, sometimes we come into this, like tonight, we come into this and we don't know what we're going to talk about. We don't have a list in front of us. We haven't really come up with anything. And then they end up being really good episodes because they're organic conversation, which is, organic, you know, kind of good. The best.
So long as you're not at the grocery store. Organic sucks at the grocery store, I'm just saying.
Well, it's very expensive. Yeah. My wife loves organic.
Yeah.
Here's kind of what I wanted to talk about this, or what I wanted to talk about tonight. And we kind of talked about this a little bit off air, but, you know, first of all, I'm just so honored to be on the show with you once a week. Like I say every week, you know, I'm an idiot when it comes to this stuff. I don't know. I'm not an idiot. Well, yeah. But I haven't experienced addiction, addiction or mental health firsthand, a little bit of mental health secondhand. But you know, I may say things that, I don't mean to be offensive. And again, I will understand that I will never understand. So you know, when we started doing this, just the tips, you know, it was fun reading a bunch of lists and all that. And I always self-reflect and I always listen back to episodes that I appear on just to hear what I can do better, what I should have done, whatever. It's just all about self.
Because you're a narcissist.
Well, a little bit. But, you know, I struggled sometimes because I'm like, man, I'm saying a joke that I think is funny, but, you know, to that mom that's doing the submission or to some of your listeners, is it really funny or is it just in poor taste? And I've gotten a lot of positive feedback by your group, you know, the people who have either lived with this firsthand or secondhand or whatever. And so I appreciate that. But I also don't want to, you know, my role is to bring comedy to the week. But I don't want to do that for I don't want it to be a cheap laugh. Yeah, you know,
that's what you're saying. Yep.
But it's just kind of something that I struggle with every week. And I wanted to kind of have a conversation about that.
And well, it's a legitimate conversation to have. And I mean, and I said it to you earlier and I'll say it to you now. And I think I've said it to you at least once before too. We're not sensitive people in, you know, that suffer in addiction. Well, I mean, they might be a little bit more so, but, those of us in recovery we are a pretty hardened bunch as far as humor goes. You'd be hard pressed to offend somebody about their by making a joke about recovery or addiction. I mean, something about them personally. We're all human, right? But you got a pretty good sense of humor, and you kind of have to, like, keeping in mind our baseline is different than most people's, right? The shit that we have seen and been through is very different than most people. So what it takes to offend us, I think, is, you know, in correlation with that, right? We're not easily offended, man, right?
Well, but are you talking about the person who was the person who had an addiction, or are you talking about the family member? Because I think there's a difference, and I think you're right. I think the person who had an addiction, I think you're right, can have a broader sense of humor. But what I really don't want to offend is I really don't want to offend or make a off-color joke to the loved one.
And that's fair. But keeping in mind, I think the reason that those Family Fridays are hitting so hard and becoming so popular, there's a huge difference between being the addict and being the loved one of an addict. But as far as the hardness on your life goes, as far as, you know, the strife that comes along with those things, they're very similar. The stigma, for instance, you know, that faces the partner or spouse of an addict is very similar in nature to the stigma that faces the addict themselves. So again, that baseline is different, right? And I think, we talked about that one in that one episode, which to me is probably the favorite one we've done, where we took that list of things not to say to a spouse, partner, or spouse of an addict.
Yeah, it was a really good one,
and it has resonated very, very well. And we had some fun with that,
right?
So I think, as a muggle, perhaps you're being a little overly sensitive, which is better than the other direction, sure. Right? Without a doubt, right?
Yeah,
And the feedback, man, the feedback speaks for itself, right? Not a single negative. And I have said some shit that is way off on these episodes, right? Much more so than yourself. I have not had one negative response. Not one. Has anybody ever said anything to me? I've said some shit outside of addiction and recovery that is like, right? You
know, right.
Going back to that one comment about, you know, it's like a yell surprise. Yeah, that was a pretty big one, right? Notice I'm not repeating it now because, you know, let's not tempt fate, but.
Right. Well, let me put this out here for your listeners. I've got a phone number set up for my podcast, No New Friends Podcast, the podcast for adults who love to laugh at adulting.
And already, man, already.
Seriously? You know, come on, any opportunity I have, I'm going to drop that. Yeah. But you know, we get phone calls in and we play them on there, and that's not on air. That's not necessarily what I'm looking to do here, but. There's a couple things. One, if you have an idea for a just the tips list or a topic of conversation that Chuck and a muggle can have,
Kind of Muggle Miners, name of a podcast, like right? Yeah, okay.
You know, just get, I would love to take suggestions, or if you have feedback, or if you just want to share your thoughts on kind of what we're talking about right here, give me a call, 407-906-0543. I'm not going to answer, but you can leave a message.
So we'll be sure to put that in the show notes too there, Scott.
You know, if you have something that you want played on air, let me know in that message, hey, I want this played on air. I'm not going to play it unless you say I want this played on air. But you know, I love about doing podcasts is I love the interaction, I love the engagement. And you know, I think that's what I'm like starving for with your show. And thank you for putting me in the group text is, you know, I want to have that engagement. So, you know, shoot me a voicemail. It doesn't go to my phone. You're not bothering me. It's a, you know, it's a automated, it's Google Voice.
Absolutely.
So 407-906-0543. But I'd love to, you know, get your thoughts, get your feedback. And you don't have to tell me how wonderful I am. I already know that.
Just ask. He's great. Just ask him. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure. Don't ask my wife, though. She'll tell you. She'll tell you different.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. I guess you go back to the very beginning of the show, Scott. And I don't know. I don't think you listened to any of those episodes. They've been taken down for a long time now. It started with stupid, funny stories, right? And we've evolved past that. And I would certainly not want to even make a show that was based on stupid, funny stories in addiction. But there were some really great stories. There was the monkey story. Did you never heard the monkey story, right?
Mm-mm. No.
I'm going to tell you a story, Scott. Now I'm thinking we might be onto something here because a better way to put this stuff out there. I feel like I'm now, the show has proven itself to be issue-based. We're not a bunch of assholes. Well, we're not a bunch of assholes. We're not doing a stupid thing. We're trying to do a really good thing with the show. So If I tell some of these stories, I don't feel like I did in the beginning, like maybe we were glamorizing because it's not like that at all. But the monkey story, man, like this is, I swear to God, every one of my stories is true. The souls of my loved ones. Okay. So I have a twin brother who, we don't really talk much anymore, but anyway. Back in the day, and we were like maybe 19, 20 years old. So, and I should say in all of these stories, I give everybody nicknames because of their identities and I want to protect them. Right. And that's the way we started the show. And I'm not going to start naming names now. So, we call him the twin because I don't have a witty nickname for him. And, what he was doing, he was selling a lot of pot back then. In fact, that's when pot was still a real drug, you know, before it became legal here in Canada anyway. And he was selling a lot of pot. And what my side hustle was, we were both working. This is before Coke and all the really hard shit kicked in and life was still fun. My side hustle was I would sell stolen property, right? I never stole it. It wasn't for me, but I could sell anything. It. Right. Yeah. Right. So I would sell stereos and stuff. They'd come to me quite often though. My brother would buy these with pot and then I would sell them for cash. So there's another profit margin to be made in there. There's an extra layer of margin because he's paying at a retail value for the pot that he's paid wholesale for. And so we used to do quite well as a team that way. And generally house stereos, car stereos, tools, whatever these, you know, degenerates would bring around. And he walks in the door one day. I'm over at his place. He lived with my buddy that we call Fuck Around and Find Out in all the stories. There's a whole story there too. But anyway, so him and Fuck Around and Find Out are living together. And I'm sitting there. Twin walks in and he's got like a satchel, like the old school business satchels.
Like a man purse.
No. Before that, like a laptop bag before there was laptops, like a briefcase kind of thing, right?
You know, gotcha.
Yeah. And of course, back then, laptops would have been very few hours between. We're going back almost 30 years now. So anyway, I can hear you typing in the thing there, Scott. Anyway.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's a good story, man. Do you want to hear the story or not?
Saying,
you want to hear the story or
as you say in Canada, sorry. Sorry. I'm listening. I'm multitasking.
Okay. Anyway. So anyway, he walks in. He's got this satchel thing. He opens it up. Fuck me.
The man purse.
It's a satchel. It's a beef.
Okay, satchel. God damn it.
Okay, yeah. He opens it up. There's a fucking monkey and it's rah! It screams. It's got little sharp fucking teeth. It is showing the teeth and it is pissed off. It is really pissed off. Right?
Well, yeah, so, it's been in a man purse.
Right. What the? He buttons this thing back up. What the hell, man? And he says, well, I bought a monkey. Well, I see that you bought a monkey. What the fuck, right? He says, well, you got to sell it.
Is he Ross from Friends?
Right, I know, right? He says, well, you got to sell it. Who the fuck am I going to sell a monkey to? It's not a cordless drill, right? It's not an Alpine stereo. Yeah, right?
I don't think pawn shops take the monkeys.
He says, I don't know. What's your problem? That's what you do, right? Oh, okay. Fuck, right? So we're all baked, just smoking lots of weed back then. And as the night goes on, there's, people coming and going because of, the traffic or whatever. And of course, we're a bunch of stoned idiots, right? And every time somebody walks in, check this out. This freaking monkey, right? And literally, and I shit you not, it would scream every time you open the bag, right?
Oh, my God.
Well, the inevitable happens. What do you suppose that is?
The monkey gets out.
Of course it gets out, right? Now, it's a pissed off ninja monkey, right? Running around the house, and it does not want to go back in the
ninja monkey.
It does not want to be caught. It is not going back in that satchel for nothing. And we're all stoned, right? So, we've got blankets and we creep up on this thing and try and but as soon as you got anywhere near it, it would scream and bear say at you, right? So, and we're all stoned. Like, oh, fuck, man. And run away from this thing. Well, this goddamn monkey ran around all night. We could, literally all night long. We could not catch him. It was not going to happen. And in the morning, fuck around and find out, somebody's got to stay home from work, and we all work at the same, moving company. And I'm a crew supervisor. So there's an understanding that I'm kind of responsible for making sure everybody gets to work. And because all these guys are my buddies and whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, well, somebody's got to stay home. Can't leave this pissed off ninja monkey running around the house. Right. And this thing's climbing up the drapes. It's under, it's on the fridge. It's everywhere, man. And so, fuck around, find out he's going to stay home from work that day. Probably just to be lazy. Really looking back at it, he's probably just looking for an excuse not to go hump furniture all day. But so I get to work. I got a story ready to go, whatever it was. I walk in, the dispatcher looks at me and says, a fucking monkey, Chuck, right? What? I just walked into this wall of a monkey, right? What the fuck? So apparently, for reasons still unknown to this day, and then fuck around, find out, still a good friend. He decided to get honest. This is the one day, man, when lying would have been okay. This is the one day you didn't lie, because we weren't honest about why we didn't go to work back then. We still thought we were smarter than the boss, right?
Right.
No, not this time. He decides to call in and say, yeah, there's a monkey running around. I can't come to work. Right. After clear instructions about, don't worry about it. I'll take care of, handling dispatch when we get there. So yeah. What am I going to do now? Lie? Right. Now's not the time. Fuck it. Right.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, dispatchers. Yeah. There's a monkey running around. He couldn't come to work. It just furious. You fucking guys. Right? So anyway, we got the work done. My crew goes out short of man that day. At the end of the day, I sold the goddamn monkey.
No shit.
Yes, I did.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. I don't remember to who, but it was for a really healthy profit. So, and I've been 20 years, I've been trying to remember who the hell I sold that monkey to, but I remember how much we sold it for, and it was a good chunk of profit. We more than doubled our money on them. So that was good.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Sell anything, man. Sell anything, right?
So apparently so.
I know for a fact, though, because the one thing I was concerned about was somebody's going to buy this monkey and eat it, and that's not okay. So it was to somebody who was obviously a monkey enthusiast of some sort and was going to love this thing forever and ever, or as long as it didn't bite his face off. Because I don't
know
that monkey's ever going to not be pissed off
or feed it to a snake or something.
So yeah, that's the monkey story. That was one of my my first stories and first episode.
Oh my God!
As a matter of fact, I'll put the link up in the show notes. I did that story as an episode, but then I did a picture story on YouTube with it. So it is out there. It is out there, and it's just I found pictures and it's stupid, but it's pretty good, man.
Hey guys, we'll be right back after a quick public service announcement. This public service announcement is brought to you by
the Nate D. Foundation, raising funds to allow individuals to attend trauma therapy and treatment. Visit nate-d.ca for more information.
Hey everyone, this is Ryan Bathgate, also known as the Captain from Kaleidoscope Wednesdays. I wanted to bring a public service announcement to you today about Narcan, also known as naloxone. These kits have saved so many lives over the years. I can attest for that. Being in the industry for so long, I can tell you since we've had the opioid crisis declared in 2016, it has saved thousands of lives, and I've watched it personally save hundreds of lives. These kits are small, easy to use. You can keep them in your glove box or in a cupboard in your home, and you never know when somebody's going to need them. If you have a hard time finding a Narcan kit in your area, just email us here at ashes2awesomepodcast@gmail.com. Throw Narcan in the subject line, tell us where you are, and we'll do the legwork to find that for you. If you wanted to send me a question for my Kaleidoscope Wednesdays, again, email ashes2awesomepodcast@gmail.com. We will read that question on air, and I'll do my best to answer it in a comprehensive way. That's all I have for now, and we'll go back to the show. Thanks for listening.
That's an awesome story.
So I got a bunch of those stories, and maybe I should, they're behind a paywall, but nobody ever pays for it anyway. So to hell with it. Right.
That's someday amazing.
Make $20 off all those stories. I might as well just tell them here.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some epic stories there, man. You know, I'm not going to tell the story now. I'm going to leave it as a teaser maybe for next week.
Okay.
But next week I'm going to tell you about how to turn thousands of juice boxes into a month's worth of crack.
Right. Well, no, I don't know that you should teach that. We're trying to get people off the drugs.
It could not be repeated in a million years. This would never happen to anybody. It was a crazy one-off situation. So yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my right? God.
So that happened.
Okay. I don't know that there's anything that I could say that would top that story.
Back then, man, and it was me being me and my, you know, kind of outside box way of thinking and anything to, especially once we got into heavy addiction, you know, you do anything to make a buck, right? Like it's because, you know, and I mean, outside of, you know, hand jobs, but.
But even that wasn't off the table.
Well, you know, the guy was good looking enough, perhaps, right? I don't know. When I was doing those funny episodes, Mom was not a big lover of it, but she was still supporting me and what I was trying to
do. Sure.
So she said, if you're going to tell these stupid stories, you got to find a takeaway from them, something.
Right.
Right. And the idea was to use my humor to draw people in and bring attention to the issues. And
right.
That was kind of the original concept. You know, we found our way. We found our why, more importantly, was another thing Mother said to me. Mom, right? But she said we got to find a takeaway. And in some of the stories, I'm going to be honest, it's hard to find a takeaway. Some of it is just stupid and funny, right? In that one, I don't remember what the lesson learned was. Something about rabid monkeys. I don't know.
Yeah. Don't lie to your boss.
Something and stuff. I don't know.
Something and stuff. I love it. I love it. All right. So but. let's come up with a takeaway for that. If you're going to steal a monkey, it's not okay to spank a stranger's monkey when it's bad. I don't know. That was a stretch.
It was a stretch. It was a stretch. And I mean, in spanking the stranger's monkey, I mean, we kind of covered that with the hand drop thing, didn't we? Right.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And there you go. There you go.
Stealing a monkey is better than spanking a stranger's monkey.
Maybe. Yep. If you have to do whatever you can for a buck to feed an addiction, just be prepared. You may have to spank a stranger's monkey.
Okay. Okay. That's sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And maybe what we'll do is we'll work up to the airplane story. The airplane story, I need to adjust. If I'm going to tell it on my show, I have to be very careful about names and places that I use because I will lose one of my best friends if I tell it in a way that could ever possibly be traced back to him.
We don't want
that. Yeah. So we'll get to that one day. I think next week we'll talk about the juice boxes, right? That's a thing that we can do.
I like that. You know, I like that. Yeah.
Which is just a whole fuck. We could do this every week for quite a while, man, because I took down like 16 episodes, right? So.
Right.
Months worth of content there. Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those were crazy times back then, man. And it was, sometimes I look back and I laugh, of course, because you have to, right? But, again, times were so much more simple. Fentanyl wasn't even a thing. I don't even think it was a medical thing at that point, never mind a street thing, right? Meth was an obscure concept that like some people down in the deep south.
I think the big takeaway from all this is, you know, you can enjoy some of the stories from a humor perspective and from an education perspective. Like, I did this, it was stupid. Mm-hmm. It's a funny story, but it's also maybe a little bit embarrassing, and I will never do that again, or I will never put someone through that again. And the big takeaway is our life experiences, because we're going to make mistakes. Right. I tell employees all the time, you know, because I'm in the restaurant industry. Guests coming into your restaurant are not expecting a perfect dining experience. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they have a better experience if something goes wrong and how we handle it.
Yep.
And it's the same thing in life. It's the same thing in life. Nobody's perfect. Perfection is not on my resume. I mean, it's almost there, but perfection is not on my resume. It's not on your resume. It's not on anybody's. There's nobody that's perfect. We all make mistakes. But our mistakes don't define us. It's what we do with those mistakes and how we turn them into strengths and how we turn them into just learning opportunities and or maybe it's not just learning opportunities for us, but for others.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Chuck, you made a lot of decisions in your life and
a lot of bad ones.
And now you're taking these bad decisions mm-hmm. and one, obviously you've learned from it, but now you're trying to spread awareness to others.
Yeah. I think about that often. And let's face it, I did a lot of things. We don't use shame. We use guilt because there is a difference, as the captain has explained to us. There's a lot of guilt behind a lot of things that I did, but it's a motivator now. And I am really proud of what I've become and continue to become and trying to help people. And none of that happens without those experiences. I mean, I can't take that away from it all. It's not to say that anybody should ever try and repeat any of the shit that I've done in my life, but you know, here we are and you know, and I'm pretty proud of it. I'm pretty proud of the group of people that I've amassed around me and, you know, and the show that we've built. Nothing to say sorry for today. My mother. Can you imagine? And you know, she chose to be, ignorance, not the right word because that always has a negative connotation when you say it. She chose to not know about a lot of the things that's happened. She's chose to not tell me she has known about some of the things that she's known about happening. And I'm happy for that. Right. So when these stories kind of came out in the thing, I was always had to temper it a little bit. Right.
Right.
So there's also some R-rated stories, and those of course are, you know, you can get them in through, if you go to the Facebook page, it's got the Buy Me a Coffee app at the top. Those ones I'll never tell on here. I would never tell in any sort of public forum, right? I just wouldn't. But they're great, man. They're great. You know, I don't think you've even heard any of them, right? So no.
Mm-mm, no. But okay, I have a challenge for your listeners. Okay. We gave the phone number out to give me suggestions and all that. If you are in recovery and you have some funny stories that you'd like to share, you got to keep it brief because it cuts off after 3 minutes. Yeah. Send me your stories, but I don't just want the glory days of drug use. I want what your takeaway was from that and what you're doing with that life experience. So send us your funny stories, but what was your takeaway? So I challenge your listeners.
Yeah, I will qualify that with one more thing, Scott. So long as nobody is hurt, we can't.
Correct.
Yes. Right. And I mean, this really not fair to say, because in every crime and every everything, somebody's going to pay that price. Right. But so long as nobody was hurt or, you know, seriously injured or anything like that, we can't be glorifying or, you know, kind of making fun of that stuff. But the reality is, if you sit and talk with anybody who's been an addict for any amount of time, a drug addict, you're going to get these crazy stories, man. It's just part of, you know, I appreciate most people, like a muggle can't imagine that. For us, that was a normal thing to happen. Okay, the monkey was a bit extreme. But like most of these stories, it's just shit that happened, right?
Yeah.
I'm better at telling a story, and I remember a lot of them. And that's kind of the difference between me and the guy beside me sometimes, right? I can tell a good story. Right?
Yeah. So like I said, send us those stories, but we're not just going to play the glory days. I want to know what your takeaway was from it, and what did you learn from it, and what are you doing with that experience. You don't have to answer all those three questions, but just kind of the point. We got to land the plane with the good the that story, came out right? of that. Exactly. Exactly. So send those to us. And I don't know, maybe, you know, if we get a bunch of these, maybe once a month, we'll do like the story of the week or the story of the month or whatever. I'll send you a No New Friends podcast t-shirt.
There you go. There you go. Right. Yeah. So I'm going to send you all mine and I'm going to get me a No New Friends podcast t-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Wow. I just told the monkey story again. There you go. So I'll put the link in the show notes to that picture story. Cause it's something else, man. And I'll send it over to you. It's like 5 minutes long.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's great. It's great. Those are really hard to do. Like just finding all the pictures and whatever, it's quite a tedious thing. So I wanted to do it with more of them, but I just couldn't do it. I just, who's got the time, right? But yeah. All right. Well, tell you what, that brings us to my favorite part of the show. That's Daily Gratitudes.
And as always, the Daily Gratitudes are brought to you by the No New Friends podcast, the podcast for adults who love to laugh at adulting. We do two episodes a week, Sunday nights, which are always silly, Wednesday nights, which we take more of a serious approach, where we're pulling back the curtain on life, trying to change the world one episode at a time. You can check us out on all major podcasting platforms or our website, nonewfriendspodcast.com.
What you got for gratitude today, Scott?
Well, I'm grateful for monkeys. Because without monkeys, we don't have these really cute, tiny humans that do fun things and also get stuck in, man purses and lead to a funny story. So, grateful for, and I'm also grateful for the band, the Monkees, because loved that television show and, loved their music. Yeah, I'm old. Yeah. I'm reaching. grateful for my kids. I'm in the smack dab middle of a 3 week stretch where I had my daughter's school play that she was in. It was Moana, and she played Moana.
Oh,
and so talented, geez. This kid's gonna be a star. And then I had my 17-year-old daughter's high school graduation this weekend. And I'm grateful that she goes to a tech school and there was only 24 kids in her graduating class. So it was a 55-minute graduation ceremony.
Nice. The last one of those I went to was long and could have been a better
experience. They're very long.
Yeah.
And then this coming up weekend is the first daughter who played Moana. It's her birthday. So we've got all that.
Did we ever settle in on the theme for the birthday?
Moana. Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
She's doing a sleepover thing. It's actually really cute. We hired this company that comes in and sets up a professional sleepover. So they have like these little tent things and all that. Yeah.
You got whiter, folks. You got whiter.
I'll send pictures. It's unbelievable. And I can't wait to tell the story on air next week. I'm grateful.
That traumatized me more than all the shit I went through. That might have just been the thing that traumatized me.
I'm grateful for my kids.
Kate, we got to unpack that, Scott. I'm sorry. Yeah, end of the episode or not. The fuck does this somebody do in a professional sleepover? Like, what makes something...
How do I
charge people for this?
Setup. So they have... Okay. So like, okay, my daughter in her room, she's got a bunk bed, and then she's got this chair that pulls out to a bed... But she's having six girls over. We can't fit six girls in her room. Yeah. And we don't want to put them in one of the other guest rooms because then the one kid
one of the other guest likes rooms.
So we put them in the movie theater room. And so this company comes out. We were going to put them in the library with the ladder, but
in the study, as it were. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. In the library. Okay.
So in the movie theater room, they're roughing it in the movie theater room. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So they Fuck come sakes. Out.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. They set up these little beds and, you know, little tents that go over the beds and it's all themed and all that. So they have a ton of different themes. It's really super cute.
Mm-hmm. Imagine this. You know what? All the part, your daughter's going to have that experience of a lifetime doing something like that, right? So,
you know. Yeah, she's tired of we've done the bounce house for the last couple of years. She's tired of that.
Yeah. Roughing it. rough.
And yeah. Too much stimulus. Because what we do is we put it out on our Facebook, our neighborhood Facebook group. We're like, hey, all are welcome. Yeah. Which has been really cool because she's made some really good friends that she didn't know before by all these. And the parents are welcome. We have tents that we rent, a big tent, a lot of booze, a lot of you know, nonsense. Yeah,
of course.
So yeah. We do that. We've been doing that every year, which is it ended up being more for like me and my wife to socialize with neighbors than it was her. But anyway, she doesn't want to do it anymore. So I'm grateful that we're not doing that anymore. That's my third.
Yeah.
Monkeys, my kids, no more bounce houses.
Wow. You know what? I'm thankful to you, Scott. I really am. This is.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Mainly because I can now share the story with people of a professional sleepover company, which is just mind blowing to me in the movie theater room. Yeah, that makes my heart happy. It does. It makes my heart happy for your daughter because they don't care about income or any of that stuff, right? Or money. They're just they love what they love, and that's going to be a great time for her. So, I'm thankful to my past in the stupid funny stories and the whole nine because, like I said earlier, it's why we're where we are, right? It's made it who I am today for the better or the worse, and I'm trying to do something right with those experiences. So, and mostly though, I am thankful to the listeners. Always to the listeners. You guys keep doing what you're doing, please. Give us a review, give us a rating, do whatever it is on whichever platform you're listening to us on. Keep spreading the word because every time you do those things, you are helping me to live my best life. And that is to make a humble living, spreading the message. And the message is this. If you are in active addiction right now, today could be the day. Today could be the day that you start that lifelong journey. Reach out to a friend, reach out to a family member, call into detox, go to a meeting, do whatever the hell it is you need to do to get that journey started because it is so much better on the other side.
And if you're the loved one of somebody suffering in addiction, you've just taken the time to listen to our nonsense. If you could just take one more minute when it's all said and done, text that person. Let them know they are loved. Use the words.
You are loved.
That little glimmer of hope just might be the thing that brings them back.
Almost died trying to get here. Got high through my best years. Got sober, then I relapsed, then I cleaned up, got my head clear. Sometimes it feels like there ain't to believe in, but I believe that we're out here for a reason. You don't think you're a fighter, but I know you are. You are a liar, you say you are. You don't think that you're worth it, but I think you are. And I think you're perfect the way that you are. Tired from the pressure I put on myself for years. Tired from my 20s to whiskey bottles and beers. Tired of smiling while I've been holding back tears. But I believe I can do it, so I'm here. I'm a believer. I believe. I'm a believer. I believe. I've been told I have a death wish. No one's interested. Cold and too aggressive. Close to hypertension. I'm broken from the pressure. Explosive with my temper. I'm sober, but I'm stressing and hoping it gets better. Am I falling off? Should I give it up or put it all on pause? Let go of this dream so I can visit home and talk to mom? Maybe all I need is another Instagram post with a quote about believing in yourself when you're low. You don't think you're a fighter, but I know you are. You are a liar, you say you are. You don't think that you're worth it, but I think you're wrong. And I think you're perfect the way that you are. Maybe I'm weaker, and I know I've lost before. But I'm a believer. Nothing is impossible. I'm a believer. I believe. I'm a believer. I believe. You don't think you're a fighter, but I know you are. You are a liar. You say you are. You don't think that you're worth. You're perfect the way that you are.